All right, let me get this mic situated. Okay, here we go. Is that good for everybody?
Yes.
All right, good. Well, first I'd like to say I'm glad to be in Ocean City. It's a pleasure. Me and my wife, we used to come down here every year. We never missed a year, but we missed the last 4 years to come into Ocean City. And one of the things that happened was I had 4 strokes. And that is traumatic to a relationship and to the person that had the strokes. And so this is our first time down here in 4 years. So, you know, we are very happy that we're here today and everything. We get to see some of our friends. And I'm extremely happy today because I'm sharing with one of my good friends, Kenny, from Baltimore. So God, as we say, is good and all the time. And the topic is the never-ending process of surrender. Well, what I have to do, you'll understand as I go on in this topic. 15 years ago when I was 43, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I was standing on a corner called Lawrence and Fulton. And I was a grown man at 43 years old. I was standing on the corner and I was crying. And the reason I was crying, because I hurt it so bad. I mean, I was hurting. I was dope sick. My legs was hurting. And I could barely stand up on the corner. I stood on the corner thinking that another addict coming by there that used drugs will have compassion on me. I don't know where I got that from, but I thought it would happen. Another addict going to cop, because that's the cop area right there. I say, somebody will come past and have compassion on me. You know what happened, don't you? It never happened. Everybody was so self-absorbed about getting their own. And so I went to where I was living at, and man, it was a miserable day. This is right before I got clean. It was miserable, and the pain was so excruciating. I mean, totally excruciating. It almost wanted to crawl out of my skin. So I understand when a person is dope sick. Me and my wife, well, let me introduce my wife. Is my wife in here? Can she please stand up? Stand up so they can see you. All right, there you go. I don't want to get that twisted at a convention. You understand how that goes and everything. So me and my wife was coming from the VA hospital the other day, and we seen a young lady standing on the corner. If you would have seen her, two things would have came to your mind. Take her to the hospital or to the morgue. Those two thoughts. That's how bad she looked from the horrors of addiction. And it's sad what the disease does to our members, but I'm glad that we had a program of Narcotics Anonymous. And so when I came here, I ain't gonna go that far back, and I'm gonna hit today where I'm living at and everything. But one thing I want to make clear, it says in our literature that all the lies, all the rationalization, and all the justification that we use, it says it's shattered. And we come face to face with the disease of addiction. We see who we are, and we see what we are. It becomes more clear. We see who we are and what we are. Because when we come into the program of Narcotics Anonymous, the first thing that all of us think, that drugs is the problem. I wish it was that simple, because all you would have to do then is stop using drugs. Stop using drugs and everything should turn around in your life. But drugs is just, we all know, a symptom of the problem. Something much deeper is going on. That's why we use the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous to recover from the disease of addiction, because something deeper is coming on. And we emphasize surrender, because surrender is what opens the door to recovery. It's not the honesty has a big part of it, but it is surrender, because when you're honest, you got to surrender to that. So surrender opens the door to recovery. And that has helped me out a whole lot in my recovery. And I found this out. When your recovery gets clouded, when a member's recovery gets clouded, they start to live like an undiagnosed addict. And the first thing people say when they see that, they got all that clean time and they're living like that. And the reason is not the clean time, is that their surrender has been clouded. And when a person's surrender is clouded, they start living like an addict that has not been diagnosed yet. And I've been caught in that myself a couple times and everything. But I got the best of both worlds. I got a recovering addict as a wife. And I got members in a fellowship. And having a recovering addict as a wife, they see the symptoms of addiction in your life. My wife, a lot of times, had talked to me and said, I'm not talking to you as your wife. I'm talking to you as another recovering addict. And so that helps out a whole lot. So it's a great benefit in being married to another recovering addict. Now, if I was married to a person that wasn't a recovering addict, I could manipulate the truth and do all kinds of things. You know how they go. But we all been using, we manipulated the truth. You know, so by being married to another recovering addict, it's little of that. Because when she talks to me, I'm talking to you as another recovering addict. So that helps me in my recovery. And then I have members in the fellowship that help me a whole lot and everything. So I have had a lot of experience with recovery. And one thing I want to make clear is this here about the process of surrender. It's a process that goes throughout the whole time you're clean. There's never a time when you do not need to practice the principle of surrender. Never a time. I remember one time after we had a young man working for us, and we assigned him to do a certain task, and he made up stuff and never did it. And we come to find that out, and it got kind of nasty and everything. And the first thing I wanted to do when that happened was to whip his ass. I could have took him too, because he only wore about 50 pounds. But I didn't do that. I thought about the process of surrender. I didn't think surrender, but I thought about what we are taught in the program of Narcotics Anonymous and what we discover in the steps. And one thing I remember was this here. A suffering addict, if an addict is suffering, what they need more than anything, more than anything, if an addict is suffering, what they need more than anything, everyone should know what that is, come right out of the 12th step, compassion. And compassion means to suffer with. That's why me and my wife, when we seen that young lady down there on that corner, I think we gave her $5 or $10 and everything, just to kind of relieve some of the pain that she was going through. The pain was excruciating. You could see it all in the veins in her face, and she was, you know, addicts, when they don't take baths and don't change clothes, you know the appearance and everything, and it was deeply saddened. I mean, it was sad. And I said, if you would have saw, you would have came up with two conclusions. Take her to the morgue or take her to the hospital. And so me and my wife got together, gave her a few dollars and everything. And she was so relieved that she knew that she was getting close to getting her next one. And that was her relief. So we went on and gave her the money. And we didn't assign to her, don't you go use this on drugs or anything like that. We didn't give her no long, drawn-out speech and everything. Because we understand that what another suffering addict needs more than anything is compassion. And so, let me go ahead and hit this now. Now, surrender. What does surrender mean? Now, that's a good question there. And I'm going to try to answer it. That's a good one. What does surrender mean? And we all have an idea about surrender. But sometimes our ideas, when we come into the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, don't mess with our literature. So we have to relearn what that means. You know, on the streets, and most of y'all know, you never surrendered. Never surrendered. And that's one thing I didn't do. I never surrendered. I was going to die with my boots on. That's where I grew up. That's what I was taught. And that was the code of the streets. You never surrender. And so you get to Narcotics Anonymous. The biggest thing that kind of shocked me when I came into Narcotics Anonymous was they were saying, no matter what, you must not use. I said, what the fuck is they talking about? How can they tell people that shit? That no matter what, you must not use. We just coming off the street and they hollering, no matter what, don't use. No matter what, don't use it. You just coming off the streets into the program of Narcotics Anonymous and they're hollering, no matter what, don't use. To me, that shit was insane. Say, where the fuck is they coming up with this shit? But I understand now why they said it. Because they was going to be there to help us get through it. Now, if we had to do it on our own, we would have walked the fuck back out. Because you can't take that kind of withdrawal on your own by yourself. So I want to thank the members that helped me in my early days of recovery. Some of them are still clean and some are not. But I want to thank them and thank the members that are here this morning and everything. And so what I did was, I did what everybody else do when they come to NA. Mostly everybody does. They get a sponsor, they get a home group, and you start working the steps. Now the steps, are, we all know, is the way up and out and everything. And they have really affected my life. And one of the things is I had a sponsor named Willis R. in Delaware. That was my main boy. That was a man. I have never gotten a sponsor like him since then. He was definitely good. He was a people person and everything, and he understood our program, and he taught me very well. I mean, he shared a lot of stuff with me and taught me very well and everything. So and the importance that he taught me was about surrender. He should share that. Oh, well, he used to have when you call his phone, he had a thing on his phone that said, "How dare I not be grateful?" And he really said that. And then before he died, I went up to Delaware. And when I got there, he was unconscious and in a deep coma and everything. But he was in that coma before I got there. And then when I got there, after I got there, I said a few words to him, even though he could not respond back. And then he passed away and everything. When I got back on the road driving down, they called me and said, "He just died," and everything. So that was a hard hit when you lose someone that's close to you and everything. That's a hard hit, especially someone you used to talking to, sharing everything with. And when that part becomes missing in your life, it can create major problems. Because after then, it took me 9 more months to get another sponsor. 9 more months. And I chose wrong on that. And then after I chose that time, that didn't work out right. So then 9 more months later, I chose another sponsor. And that didn't work out right. So I have a new sponsor now, and I think this is going to work out right. Now, what all that has to do with surrender? Well, the most important thing about it is about giving ourselves to someone else. Surrender, I'm going to give you the best simple definition if I have of surrender. Surrender means, you ever seen the yield signs when you're driving? And when you drive, it says yield. And so you yield, and when you yield, the car come from that way has the right of way. Well, surrender is like that. And surrender, you yield and you give yourself over to God and to the process of recovery. And what happens then is that we receive a strength not our own. And sometimes in the process, if you continue to surrender, God becomes your greatest source of strength and hope. One of the major things that happened was after I had the strokes and everything, and even to this day now it has residual effects and everything. Because if I walked over here, my legs was hurting. I only walked from right across the street to here, and my legs was hurting when I got here, so I had to sit down and everything. But after that and everything, a lot of things changed for us. And the only way that we could continue in the process of recovery was through the process of surrender. They call surrender a process. When they said that surrender is a process, I kind of basically understood what they were saying, because addiction is a process, recovery is a process, honesty is a process. All these things happen over a period of time. And it talks about in our literature, it says that we surrender, but we do not become perfect. And then it goes on and explains what happens when we surrender. We begin to live our lives differently than the way we have lived it in the past. But in order for that to happen, we must surrender. Now, when I see members that's acting out and everything, the first thing come to my mind now is, I don't say that all that clean time. First thing comes to my mind is their surrender has been clouded. And so when anybody surrenders to cloud again, they act like they live as undiagnosed addicts. And one of the most important gifts you get from surrender is the gift of recovery. Because recovery is impossible without the gift of surrender. It's totally impossible. It will not happen unless you surrender. And again, when you surrender, you stop doing one thing and you start doing another. You stop doing this and start doing this. And if you need the strength to do this, that comes from the help of the fellowship and your sponsor. And the greatest help in our fellowship is the God of our understanding. We can't minimize that. I will not minimize it in my life, the God of our understanding. Because when I say God, I'm saying what our literature says. I'm talking about the power that makes the impossible possible. So all the possibilities that we have in the program of Narcotics Anonymous is made possible through the God of our understanding. And most people live the way they live depending on the God of their understanding. However they understand God, that is expressed in their life. But one of the greatest gifts that I have received in the program of Narcotics Anonymous is that by surrendering to God, and when I surrender to God, God guides me through the 12 steps. And as he guides me through the 12 steps, the 12 steps starts to make sense. They start to make sense. But sometimes my surrender has been clouded by things that has happened in my life. And when that happened, my wife would tell you, I started living like an addict that hasn't been diagnosed. And my only relief was to return back to the process of surrender. And I remember we was in Miami, Florida at a convention, and we got the call that my brother was in the hospital. And we was talking, me and my wife, should we leave now and fly back? But by the time we finished talking, he had died and everything. And when he died, you know, you feel the pain of the loss. So when he died, I had a few options available to me because they became clear in my head what my options were. But one of the options was to get angry with God. To get angry with God and become disconnected from him. Because how could he let somebody that close to me die and everything? But then I remembered that death is a natural process of life. Death has been a natural process of life for so long that it's normal when a person gets sick and if it's terminal for them to die. Because that's what they mean when they say it's terminal. That means this sickness is going to end in death. So that was very clear. So I didn't get angry with God, and then I surrendered. And when I mean surrender here, I mean I took what I was taught and what I learned through the 12 steps, and I lived it. And by living it, came through the other side. And I'm thankful for that because I found so much relief in that and everything. And then we got back, and we went to the funeral and everything. And that was sad and everything because he was a drug user too, but he didn't die a using addict. His sickness caused him to stop using. He had MS real bad. He was up and going. You know how MS does. It starts weakening your muscles, and before you know it, you can't even stand, and you're shaking like this, and before you know it, you got to be in a wheelchair and everything. So he finally died and everything. But one thing made me mad as hell. A friend of mine that was a friend of my brother and was a friend of mine knew my brother was in that situation. And my brother at that time was getting high. He went there to cop for him. And he took the money. You know how that goes. He never came back. And I got the call. This one I had 2 years clean. I got the call. And I wasn't practicing surrender then. I had did the step out. Fuck surrender. I took it. I went across town. I found that, excuse my language, I found his ass. And I whipped his ass and chased him. I ran behind his ass. Boy, what you do to my brother for and everything like that. But I wish that wouldn't have happened because now God could never use me to bring the message of recovery to him. I've injured that forever. So the way he will get the message is through another addict. I will never be the one that would take that message to him. After I chased him and everything like that, I came on back home. He was running too, boy. I couldn't catch him, boy. That boy was running. My man. When I go across town now, I look for him, but I can't find him. I think everybody that I grew up with just about dead now. Everybody. And I knew a lot of people coming up. And most of them had got 20 and 50 years in prisons. The other OD'd, and the rest got shot in gang fights and stuff like that. So sometimes I feel like I was when I joined the United States Air Force. When I joined the United States Air Force, they wrote an article in the Afro in 1980. They had an article in the Afro, young black African American joins the United States Air Force, and they had an article of my picture and stuff in there. I don't know why that was so big, but they made it big in the neighborhood, I guess because the neighborhood I come out of, everybody did drugs. The mother did drugs, the daughter did drugs, and then the damn kids selling the drugs to the mother and them, and they let them sell the drugs, but they had a constant supply and everything. It was a hellhole. And sometimes I wonder how people can live like that, but I understand how they can live like that, because I once lived like that and come out of that and everything. And so what I would like to say now is that if you're here, which you are, work the steps. And when you get to the steps, go over surrender with your sponsor constantly. Because the sponsor will tell you, you done heard it, you're fighting with somebody, and they say, just surrender. And that's what surrender. You surrender to win. And surrender, one of our basic texts says what surrender means, but it doesn't give you a full explanation of it. It says we stop fighting. And I understand what it means. We stop fighting. Fighting what? To control. Because the more you control, you exert, the more you become out of control. So you surrender to the process of recovery. And in that surrender, you gain the strength to leave it alone and to go on. And then you have the faith to trust God that what He started in your life, He will finish. God doesn't come up short. We do. What He starts, He will finish. And sometimes situations in your life look crazy. How can any good ever come out of this? A lot of good can come out of it. I'm going to give you a few examples. Not in NA, but close to NA. A drunk driver hit a lady in the early, I forgot what year it was, and killed her daughter. Out of that came what? Mad. What do you call that? Moms Against Drunk Drivers. Right. Something beautiful came out of that. And all these other little offshoots came to help people understand the deep harm when something like that happens and everything. And in Narcotics Anonymous, out of the most difficult times that we face, something great and beautiful can come out of it. But you got to make it to the other side. And one of the only ways you can make it to the other side, I'm going to quote our literature. Again, it says, surrender is important to us. We extremely express surrender. Surrender opens the door to recovery. And that moves you through the other side. Then once you get to the other side, you're able to share your experience, strength, and hope. But sometimes surrendering is very difficult. Very, very difficult. And that's when you pray for God to give you the willingness. Because when I surrender, people think I'm a punk. I guess that happens to you. You surrender, and they think that you're weak or you're a punk or something like that. But that's not the case. That's the case is you're practicing the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and they're unwilling to practice the program of Narcotics Anonymous. So if you find yourself in a bind, you find yourself discouraged, you find yourself, what should I do next? Or you can't reach your sponsor, let the first thing come to your mind is surrender. 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 Even as a newcomer, you can surrender. What do as newcomers do surrender to? They surrender to the group. And by surrendering to the group, they get the information they need to continue staying clean. That's one of the things we emphasize, do 90 meetings in 90 days. And that 90 days, they get an understanding of the stuff, but they get to start to see things different from the way they didn't used to see it and everything. So I'm down to 5 minutes, and I ain't going to get that other sign. Time is up. I know how that one is. So, like I said, I want to thank everyone, and me and my wife are glad to be down here and everything. Like I said, I'm glad I'm sharing with my friend Kenny here. And remember, the process of surrender is a process. Relapse is a process. Recovery is a process. Honesty is a process. I don't think there's nothing in NA that's not a process. I don't think it's anything. Anybody know anything in NA that's not a process? I think everything is a process. A process. And I watch people use that to their advantage when they do it. God, bad behavior and everything. They say, I'm in the process. I know y'all done heard it too and everything. But when you surrender, it is a process. And what happens in surrender is you stop doing this and you start doing this. You stop doing this and you start doing this. And if you don't have the strength to do this, pray, ask God for the willingness. Until that willingness come, talk to other seasoned members and everything, and ask them how they surrendered. And they will share that with you and everything. So my time is up, and again, I want to thank you all.